Well, I'm in the Anthony Doffey Gallery. I've just looked around the installation, in fact, that Joseph Beuys has made, called Plight. Perhaps we could start by you talking about the sources of this piece of work, which has involved installing felt around the interior of the gallery and placing a grand piano, a blackboard and a thermometer. Perhaps we could talk about the sources of this particular piece.
Yeah, it all started with a joke, being related to the difficulty in which the gallery was when the very noisy, terrible noisy deconstruction of the building behind Anthony's wall and now the reconstruction of the whole building will stay for the near future. And so Anthony, who was very despaired then, and asked me even if it would not better to go away from that place. I said, I tried to advise him that I didn't feel that was necessary. I said, only yes, you have to stand it for a while, and the place is good. The connection from this gallery to this gallery is okay. There's no reason to move while there is a hard noise. So 2 years, perhaps. But then I made a joke and said, but I'm also... I can also very easily make a kind of muffling sculpture, the idea of a muffling sculpture of felt, and to make it as a big exposition. That was a joke. And then we both forgot it, almost didn't speak any longer about this. And then only 3 weeks before, I received a letter from Judy, his assistant of Anthony, reminding me on that utterance I did during that time, and she meant it would be earnestly of interesting to make now a felt installation which with this kind of meaning, insulation from outside influence of danger or noise or whatever, temperature. And then I decided to make this this piece. So I developed this kind of installation. While I was before, I was intended to make in parallel, in synchronically with the exposition in the Royal Academy on German art. I thought I would appear with a stone sculpture here. But I found this much more interesting now, also in relationship to the pieces who are in the exposition of the Royal Academy, since what they're completely missing in the exposition of the Royal Academy is one of my main work being related to action, performances, environment, and also the materials which belong to those actions. There's missing fat, there's missing fat, there's missing felt. So I thought it would be a very good thing to make the impression and the information on the people who will surely appear from all over the world to see the show, to show me my most beloved and most powerful material that was felt. And then only I felt people could get information from a wider understanding of art. Well, those pieces are wonderful, but they show a little bit too little about the theory and, let's say, the whole scope of the meaning of my wider understanding of art. That was the reason.
There is a recurring theme that one sees in your work, which are ideas to do with survival and to do with the human body, right, and so on. And although that piece is concerned with, in a sense, insulating a space, right, from the outside, right, it seems to me, walking in there, that one becomes very, very aware of one's own body somehow,
yeah,
one's own,
right,
bodily functions.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Since and that was also the reason to use such materials. Since I was not interested to stay with the idea of visual art, I was interested to to point at the necessity to determine the idea of art towards all possible senses existing in human beings, and even to develop new senses. If they are not there now, they will appear in the future. If people are training and are really interested in art, they could develop even more senses. So this is now related to the senses of touching, surely also to see it. This remains. I'm not against vision, surely, because one of the most important senses. You have a kind of hearing, acoustic effect, because everything is muffled down.
But you have you
acoustics.
Yes.
Then there is the effect of warmness. It accumulates warmth. As soon as there are more than 20 people in the room, the temperature will rise immediately. And then there is the sound as an element, muffling away the noise and the sound. So this concert hall, I could also call it a concert hall, muffles down the sound almost to the zero. And to express this, for this there is this part of the actor, sound actor, the grand piano inside, with a score on it, where the lines for notations on this blackboard, but there is no note. There's nothing on it. Instead of this, there is a fever thermometer in it to stress the warmth quality as the most important quality for me, as a very important criterion for the quality of a sculpture. So one person will feel more this kind of accumulation of warmth, the other people will more find it sucks away the sound, the other people will feel about, let's say, even becoming oppressed, because there's also a negative aspect in the insulation idea and isolation. The negative side is the pen itself, as a kind of torture thing.
Because one is deprived of a response by the
environment. Yeah, right. There is no more response. There is nothing more possible to come to the outside. You cannot break through. Mm. That's more the oppressive element, I would say. And then the positive thing is the warmness and the possibility to protect you from all sides, you see. And that the people will feel, so I think, for instance, until now, nobody asked me what does it mean. Until now, and this is for the first time. I gave only and said, I find it is very necessary, a kind of reasons why I choose felt in during all my try to widen the understanding of sculpture, being related to humankind's creative structures in senses and in thought, feeling and willing powers. So it is necessary to describe the reasons why I work with this material, but it needs no exploration towards the special meaning of this special piece. It is visible immediately. So therefore, I speak about the theory only until now. You see. Mm. What could I say? Yeah, surely I tried to give already a lot of reasons how it came to such a result. The history which started with this joke, with this special condition, with Anthony's gallery, and so on. And then the reasons why, principally, I use the material, and that I try to use material which is transformable into psychological powers within the being, which is not aware nowadays about his or her creativity potentials, because this time tends to work with a kind of ideology. They call all the time those things sculpture and paintings visual art. But I think the vision plays only one role, and there are 12 other senses at least implied in looking towards an artwork. So I tried to change the understanding of art, bring it to a wider understanding of art, and that's what I call anthropological art. So this is for me also a theory that anthropological art appears, has to appear, after modern art. I find the period of modern art ended with the beginning in Germany, with the beginning with the Hitler time. And in England, I am not so clear, but I am sure that it is almost the same. I think everything which came after the war was either a kind of reminding possibilities from the modern impulse, which was from the turning of the century towards that time. And nowadays, especially now, people are speaking without any idea about the necessity and logics on the idea of art. They speak one again of modern art, but they call it postmodern, and this is for me a falsification. This is not an organic, let's say, transformation of the idea of art. It is only a kind of cancer because it don't know how the next step should take place with the transformation of the power of art. They don't know that it should be related to everybody's creativity, that the participation of everybody in the idea of art in any field of and character of work should take place, and that every future discussion on the changing of the social order will fail if they not start to base on the creative being with the possibility to make the self-determination, self-administration and self-government. So this transformative idea of art means a lot. And maybe it appears to be bold, but I think this boldness is necessary to overcome bad positions in the social order.
Why do you cite the Second World War, that period, as a point of significance and change?
Yeah, this, you could also say, you could also take this time of the necessity to change the understanding of art from the modern art, the ideology of moderna. You could shift it also 10 years later, or 10 years earlier. Mm. But in our country, in Germany, and now it deals especially on German art, that was the time where this modern art disappeared, and a kind of revival took place. Some very interesting painters appeared even after the Second World War. But what I was missing with them was the, let's say, the theory of the thing. So in looking for the importance of the modern art, which is for me very, very important, completely independent, if it deals with German modernism, or with Dutch modernism, or with French, or Italian modernism, or with Russian modernism, Mondrian, for instance, or Malevich, and Tatlin, or futuristic ideas, cubistic ideas, Mondrian's idea, and the surrealistic ideas. They are, for me, the significance, and they are the signalization for future time, where everything is done by person, because all those names like surrealism, cubism, and so they are done only and developed from single persons, and every person as an individual is able to create his own culture completely, like in the older cultures, the Egyptian culture was under a kind of rule, and it was a great and gigantic culture, but it was not developed as a free individual being. It was a canonized sculpture, commanded from the pharaoh, who was pretending to be a representative of all the gods. So all future part, therefore, was done from the top, was determined from the top as a collective art. Mm. It ended with the Baroque time, and after the Baroque time, there slowly and slowly, with some difficulty, started the tendency to give it to the free person as a cultural doing, to develop and to determine his or her own idea of the world. So every artist who is there present now from the German art, be it expressionistic or be it surrealistic of nature and so, shows that he is able to create a world out from his own. But with all this signalization towards this potency existing in humankind, they made the signalization for this possibility, but they didn't develop a theory. That is especially interesting to make clear on a person like Marcel Duchamp, who tried to destroy the whole kind of tradition and was hinting towards common worker with his Pissoir piece, because he said this is an artwork only in showing in a special other context. But he missed the point completely to say and to find out the logics in saying, if this is a work of art which is not done for me, which is done from some Mr. Matt, or how he made this thing, an anonymous worker in the factory, then the creator is really the worker. So he didn't enlarge all the work and all the labor to the new understanding of art as a necessity to start everything in humankind's labor from this point of view. Also that would have been of very, very big importance, because it could have come already then to a kind of discussion with existing ideologies on society, like capitalistic systems and communistic systems are working, since there is a germ in the right direction laid down and practiced by Marcel Duchamp, but then he stayed away from any other reflection, so he didn't understand his own work completely. So, to being very modest, I could say my interest was to make another interpretation on Marcel Duchamp and try to enlarge, or I try to at least to fill this most important gap which was missing in his work. So with such statements, the silence of Marcel Duchamp is overrated. You know, after his death, after he stopped to working, playing chess and such things, and didn't speak anymore about art so much, was completely silent. He cultivated this kind of silence in a very old-fashioned form. He wanted to become a hero in silence, or in saying nothing, or in resigning to the whole idea of art. And this is even of the defenders of the ideology of modern art, art also in Marcel Duchamp. So when I say the silence of Marcel Duchamp is overrated, I will say that during this time where he was silent, he could have reflected his work and coming to a real other result about the, meaning, impact, and effectiveness, because he was really interested in the transformation of art, but he didn't transform it. He showed some pieces who shocked the middle classes, the bourgeois, the piccolo borghese. So from this point of view, he belongs to some tendencies which are also existing in the Dada stream. And so principally, I try to do thing further on, over the threshold where the modern art ends, into an area where anthropological art starts, has to start, in all fields of discussion, not only in the arts, be it in medicine, be it in miners' problems, be it in the formation of state and constitution, be it in money system.
If we could finish by perhaps returning then to plight. The meaning of plight also is that of the lot of the individual.
the actual position of the individual. One talks, certainly in the English language, of somebody's plight, what they're actually left with, what their position is, what their role is. And there's an implication of perhaps that their position isn't all that satisfactory in the word,
right,
if one describes somebody's plight,
right,
which presumably is part of the meaning of the space that you've made.
Therefore, I was interested to stress to come to a title which runs completely and or covers even the meaning of the insulator idea, and to show both sides of the insulation, the positiveness of this and the negativeness. And this English word plight means not only this bad situation, this special bad situation, this plight situation where you are speaking of, it means also the betrothal of the plight. It means there is love implied, there is a positiveness of trust. Also, this word in English has two complete different meanings. One goes in this direction and one goes in this direction. So I thought it was useful to take it as a title for this insulating environments.
Can we just finish briefly by talking about the exhibition that you're in at the Royal Academy? Because what I'm interested to know is how much do you feel part of what one would call a sort of a German identity in terms of recent contemporary art, particularly recent painting? I mean, do you think you share very much with those artists? Is there something one can pin down in your work?
No, as soon as you are trying to restrict this question or to reduce this question on works of art which are only recently done in German art, I feel completely dubious about the connection with this. But I am completely secure that I belong to German art. There I am completely sure. I am, for instance, to give you a real and radical example, I would not even be there as an artist when there would not have been a personality like Wilhelm Lehmbruck, a sculptor which I admire very much, and and his existence led me to the decision to become a sculptor, to get interested in the sculpture. I didn't even know what sculpture was when I saw at the first time during the Hitler time, when I was relatively young, shortly before I became a soldier, I saw a kind of catalogue which was not burnt down during the burning activities by the Nazis. I saw a catalogue of pieces of Wilhelm Lehmbruck. And immediately I saw this is my ability to try to show that there's a lot of possible with the idea of sculpture, while I was otherwise only confronted with the social realism of the Nazi time type. You know, that this didn't touch me even, didn't give me a feeling of that it was a necessity for. But as soon as I saw this, some examples of Wilhelm Lehmbruck's work, I saw with sculpture you can change the world. Mm. Such a kind of feeling I had then. And that was for me the important person. So surely I belong to this tradition.
But can you actually identify anything particularly about your work in terms of its concerns, its underlying theories, its attitudes, that one could say, yes, that is very much derived from a German consciousness?
Yeah, you know, people is very often intended to have no idea about the nature and about what a German being is, what it means to be a German. But all the judgment is mostly done only on a, let's say, very banal foreground things which are results from this bad history of the last period, the beginning of the century, from the beginning of the century with the First and Second World War. And immediately the people is connected with a kind of description of German nature which has principally nothing to do with German nature. it can appear within the German nature, because this nature might have some potentials to take such things under special conditions. But principally, the German population, I must say, also when I see this exposition, the German spirit is much more, or let's say the task and the idea of being a German means nothing to have for themselves, only to give away for others. So all this geographical position means that it's not possible to come to a nation in this understanding, which is easier to realize. The nation idea is easier to realize where a country geographically is, let's say, insulated. The splendid is insulation of England, Albion, you see. But Germany is, from all sides, is surrounded of a different culture. And Germany could, and there was the idea of the idealistic poets and philosophers, Johann Wolfgang Goethe, for instance, and those persons, and Novalis, and also, almost every thinker was speaking about the necessity to see Germany as the middle position in the difficulties where the world will stay for longer and longer on, when this bridging between extremities is not realized by German people. So the German spirit has principally to do with bridging and helping others and not helping themselves and bringing themselves to power or to a kind of state even. Already the idea of a state is a completely misunderstanding of the German soul and the German ability. So the function of the German is, it lies in the middle of Europe. It belongs to the middle European countries, but within Germany there is a special hard position, and this is now exactly the opposite than the bridge. There is a Berlin Wall, because of this possibility to mediate between extremities which are always coming from the east and from the west. And this is exactly the spiritual position of the German ability in music, in philosophy, in poetry, in sculpture, in painting, and also in their work. So also their social organism should be constructed after this idea. This is deeply existing. I insist. And this is not only an affirmative activity. I insist that everybody will find in the German soul this longing for bridging the difficulties in the world, to find solutions for any problem, be a helper, be a mediator, and finding the bridge position in the center of Europe.
This conversation with Les Levine took place at the ICA. The work under discussion was specially commissioned both for exhibition in the gallery and on a number of billboards around central London. It took as its subject matter the conflict in Northern Ireland.
Seeing as I work in media, and seeing as part of working in media is kind of like getting at the way media works, or at least developing that as an idea, it seems to me that an issue that is site-specific is important. It's as important, let's say, as a sculptor or a person who works in environmental art or whatever you call that kind of art, saying, I made this work for that particular space.
The space being as an ideological space, in a way, or a political space.
The space being London and the people who are in London, and the kind of media attention that the people in London have had about this issue. And the premise I started with, which I think is worth introducing at this point, was that this has always been identified. There's always been an effort on the part of the British government to identify this as a religious war, or a religious conflict or whatever. And I think that one of the reasons that was done is because in a liberal community, I would imagine that if you can identify something as being religious, a religious conflict per se, that you automatically also identify it as an archaic kind of activity, one unworthy of intelligent people participating in. Certainly one unworthy of people who have any degree of education or understanding of the world. It seems like a throwback, something that is old-fashioned and out of date. If you identify something as being a religious activity, it might be interesting to show all of the things that occur in that activity and associate them with God, as presumably God is kind of like the trigger word for religion. And so you also have to bear in mind that I'm working in an advertising medium and I have to use my language pretty much the way it's used in the advertising world, because I am on billboards, after all. So you have such words as block God, which is an image of police, and then you have the red letters block God. And I don't know what that would mean. It certainly does look, when you look at this, as though it's some kind of police roadblock. But I don't know what that would necessarily mean in relationship to God. But presumably, if you are somebody who is interested in God, you might consider what it means. You might decide that it's gibberish and doesn't mean anything. You might decide that it means wipe out all those things that remind you of God, be anti-religious, don't participate in activities that seem to be religious. You might think that. But my point would be that in the process of showing you an image, and by the way, these are all images which I actually saw firsthand. They're not taken from magazines. They're not taken from photo files. They're firsthand images which I photographed myself on site. I think that's important because these are, you know, images that an artist looked at. And so you might finally come out with the idea that as this doesn't seem to mean anything to me in terms of the language that it's presenting, and I can't get anything out of it because I don't know how to block God, it must mean something else. What does it mean? And so that might put you into a whole frame of conceptual thought. And my thinking was that if you associate activities that seem to be the antithesis of religion with the word God, that people would automatically see the ridiculousness of calling this a religious conflict. And in some way, by doing it that way, they would arrive through their own thinking and through their own thought processes at some kind of idea as to what their position on the subject is.
It seems quite McLuhan-esque in a way, what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing he wrote in Understanding Media about education, the need for education to become a kind of civil defense against media fallout.
One of the things that McLuhan has said, I'm not familiar with everything he said, but I don't see how you could have been alive in the past 20 years without knowing a lot of what he said, is that he said the medium is the message. But the thing that I would say is that the content is the problem. That it really isn't true that the medium per se is the message. Is the message content of any medium becomes a major problem. And what has happened for the first few years of our media childhood, so to speak, is that we've been treating media as though it were structural language, the kind of language that comes from books or spoken words. Anybody who's been really paying attention to media over the past 7 or 8 years realized that structural language doesn't work in media, in reality, at all. That it's not what you exactly structurally what you say that means anything. It's what you look like when you're saying it that counts. And the difference I would make between media information and so-called structural oral language information is that media tends to associate itself with kind of whole body technology. It doesn't only want to send you the spoken word. It wants to send you the whole sensation. It wants to send you the sensation of surface as well as the oral experience.
What you're talking about brings us in a way back to the pieces we're looking at, the words you use, mm-hmm. because again, there isn't a sort of, you know, a structural language there. There are just sensations, if you like. There are words like attack and block and mm-hmm. starve and so on, which are fairly just powerful words that one has to read into. And because the intention of the work isn't explicit, one has to attempt to examine the meanings of those words mm-hmm. in a way, and the relationship between the words and the images.
There is a perfect example, which is that it has always been a question amongst linguists whether, you know, the more perfectly structured a sentence, the more meaning is contained, or the greater the degree of communication is the way they put it. And my argument, I mean, I generated this equation several years ago, I think in about 1969, language divided by emotion plus syntax equals message. You cannot segregate the emotional impact of certain words from modifying the final meaning that they're going to have. So the kind of residual emotion that certain words have considerably modify the effect they are going to have in the viewer's mind, even though you might say block God, as an example, or attack God, don't make perfect English. But what really is at work in that way of sentencing is that very little is being explained, or the structure is not sufficient to give you what you feel is a complete satisfactory communication. What occurs instead is that a whole sediment of emotions is arisen in which can throw you in any direction you want to go. But it is very much that. It's the direction you want to go.
We talk quite a lot about the words as mm-hmm. parts of sentences, but it seems that you're also using them as visual images in themselves mm-hmm. and the way they relate. I mean, for example, the one over there, Starve God, mm-hmm. the way you've used the red, white and blue mm-hmm. and the orange and green. I mean, mm-hmm. Starve is written in green. Uh-huh. And then there's a woman there who's got a blue and white dress with a red jacket, mm-hmm. but she's got orange hair as well. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a great mix-up of the kind of ideological positions.
Yeah, color is always used in my work to specifically trigger a cybernetic reaction. It is never used because it is pretty or abstract or anything else. You're correct in thinking that the colors here are very specific and have underlying meanings. Definitely, as in this case, the purple obviously is the color of passion, being a mixture of blue, which is power, and red, which is aggression. So purple in this instance, but even if you didn't think in that sense, you could still think that isn't purple the color that bishops wear and all the rest of that kind of thing. You could think that anyway. And the green in this particular thing is made up of, you know, yellow and blue. Yellow, for me, is a color of equanimity or equalness, non-duality, non-taking a position. And blue, again, is the color of power. Blue is always representing power. You know, policemen wear blue, soldiers wear blue. Everything that is blue represents power. And so in that particular instance, I would be thinking about, you know, the power of equanimity, the power of equalness, the power of non-duality in its active form. And so if you think of what is non-duality in an active form, I would think that it's, you know, it has something to do with, for me it means some kind of active resolution to solve the problem. I mean, whatever the word for that is.
Christoph, we're standing at the foot of the Duke of York steps here next to the ICA in London, looking at one of your projections. Perhaps we could start by talking generally about the way in which you go about selecting a site.
This specific site was selected in relation to my recent focus on the sexuality of architecture. If I can use that risky term.
or psychology of architecture in Bachelardian terms. This is a neoclassic site. Architecture of this site is designed very well. It is a monument directed to commemorate a general, administrator of the army, rather, who whose life and devotion to the cause of organizing a war machine was, for some reason, significant to court. Yet all of the soldiers and the entire army had to pay for this monument, as it was a tradition that time. This structure, the tower, the column itself, is very striking, very powerful. This whole site is quite beautifully designed, it's self-contained, and it makes people feeling as it was a theatrical site. It shows the talent of the architect, but also the absurdity of the commission. For we cannot even see well the person in the name of whom it was all erected. Therefore, the specific person, Duke of York, is not the issue at all. What is the stake is to realize what set of values were behind the structure when the structure was designed and built. And also, what is our relation today to those set of values? How do we perceive our body today, and how this neoclassic tradition still operates, circulates in our veins? What you can see here is that a couple of hands are embracing or covering the lower part of the trunk of the column, which might create all kinds of readings on the part of the audience, one of which is to protect. Another is to protect genitals. To create the architectural discipline, tension within the body of the administrator or of the officer, someone who was into organizing. Not only the army, but partly organizing the culture, the propaganda, the kind of concept of body, of an individual body, as it was constructed in 18th century and in 19th century, the disciplined, democratic, so-called body. Body which was to be disciplined from the body of a rural person to the body of industrial or governmental bureaucrat. My opinion is that we still are continuing some degree life of that body. That's why the image is still quite striking.
The other evening we saw a piece you projected at Trafalgar Square, and you're going to make it tomorrow night again. Both monuments have a military sort of association,
yes,
about them, but from what you've said, this military association is in a sense a metaphor for the focusing of aspirations and ideology and,
yes,
ordering and sort of social structuring,
yes,
rather than it being a direct comment on any particular military attitude. I mean, it seems to me much more
those,
about...
Those attitudes are connected, and in fact, like as much as industry and the war, the whole war apparatus, connected with imperial history and with the 19th century concept of organization of society and our body. But the problem is that those public spaces are still operating. They are transmitting our bodies. They're structuring our movement and our unconscious. They affect our beliefs, or maybe reinforce and reproduce certain beliefs. In my opinion is that if we cannot critically address those structures in public space itself, not just discuss them on separate occasions in lecture halls and art gallery exhibitions, if we cannot address them publicly, we won't really be able to question our beliefs, which are perpetuated through this public domain itself, but also perpetuated by us, who uncritically, with passively, are juxtaposing our bodies with those bodies. So we have a very intimate relation to those public monuments without knowing it. We photograph each other in front of them. It's becoming an important part of our family albums. We are growing up in permanent relation, reference to those structures. So perhaps what I'm doing provides an interruption in that process. So I'm not camouflaging or disconnecting what they are. I'm projecting atop of the skin, the surface, another imagery, another. They are not critical images, as you can see. They just belong to different repertoire of iconography, which is not necessarily opposing those monuments, but never really confronted or understood as part of the same set of symbols. Once they are together, that is one myth, one could say, is projected over the old myth. There is a possibility of challenging both myths. Yes, there is symbolic, this interplay between symbols and quite real facts.
Now, we're standing out here in the Mall, and it's very public. I mean, this is a very public situation, so the work is intended not for the art world or art community itself, for the very wide public, and that certainly was the case in Trafalgar Square. Now, I was just wondering whether we could get some responses from some of the people. Excuse me. We're just talking to Christoph about this projection, and you just happen to have wandered past and wondered.
Yeah, I'm from Switzerland.
What I mean, what do you think of it?
I found it great, really. I found it a wonderful idea to make this for screening. It's a new thinking, and a new kind of thinking.
Comes across as quite sinister, I think.
It's obviously something to do with the effect of the architecture on people.
I think it's very ironic. The scale of it is really good too, I think. It draws your attention to all the, you know, a lot of rather anonymous faces rather than just a single one out of reach.
Very unusual. I've never seen anything like it before in my life, I don't think. It's making a mockery of the monument that it's actually being projected onto. He's using humour to get something across, and the humour is that you have this very, sometimes quite savage imagery on these completely absurd and old and staid and conservative monuments, and that's what's funny about it and interesting.
I hadn't expected it to be so sculptural. He's turned something that's a very anonymous war memorial or a statue to a hero into something that's a very moving war memorial in which the victims are present. It's rather seditious in the best sense.
It goes beyond specific political beliefs, and it I think reaches the whole idea of war. And I don't see how anybody can disagree as such. There's, it's not a specific political message, more it's an emotional message. I think it's very well done the way he uses what is already there but transforms it. It also underlines what is there without the images. I mean, I'm sure that, like, tomorrow morning if I come back and see this, I'll remember what was here in a totally different way.